Let's turn over to the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah, the second chapter. And I want you to think with me this morning a couple of things. We'll read Jeremiah first. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he didn't have a whole lot to say good to Israel, because they were always doing something to antagonize the Lord and to bring God's judgment upon them. And so you think about the many times that he was put into stocks and put into jail and things like that, but for something he said, they didn't like it. And but anyway, Jeremiah is recorded in the Word of God. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, and down in verse 31, he said, "O generation, see ye the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, knowing that we can do nothing in ourselves. There's not one thing, Lord, we can accomplish on our own, but Lord, you said we cannot do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And we believe that today. And Lord, we come on behalf of the many needs that are represented here this morning. Some have been voiced and some have not been voiced. But Lord, we know there are needs here amongst all of us. And I pray, Father, the Word of God, my minister, I pray, Lord, you to capture the attention of the people. I pray, God, you'd put down every distraction, anything the devil might try to do to take our minds off the Word of God. And Lord, I pray at the end of the day, your name be honored, and because we meet in your name, and because you're good and you're worthy and you're God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah reminded the children of Israel here. He said, God brought you up out of the wilderness. And he said, God brought you to a place that of goodness. And we'll see a little more about that in a minute, a little bit. But he said down here, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. And God said in the word of the Lord here, that I brought you out of Israel, and he said, out of Egypt, and you've gone in the wilderness, and I've took care of you, and all of that. But then he said in verse 32, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. It's interesting, he made this analogy. He said, when a lady gets married, she has certain garments, a wedding garment. We'll have that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the white robes. He said, can she forget her ornaments? Can she forget her attire? Can she forget the day she got married? The answer to that is no. But he said, my people have forgotten me days without number. On and on and on, they forget me. As if I didn't exist after all that I had done for them. He said, they forget me. But here's the reason why. And it's found in verse 31. They said to God, he said, last part of verse 31, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. We're self-sufficient. We're sufficient ourselves. We don't need you anymore, God. You saved us. Okay, good luck. God bless you. But we're doing good now, and that kind of thing. And the Lord judged him because of that, and he brings that to light in a lot of different ways. You say, why do you bring it up? Because we are afflicted many times the same thing. Many times we say to God, I'm okay. I'm all right. I don't need you now, Lord. I'll call you when I need you. Well, God is not our servant, our valet. He's God Almighty. And so the Lord said here, they told the Lord, and he said, we are lords. Whenever we are in control of our destiny, and we don't need you to be our Lord anymore. Now, there's the one thing we need to find out about. Either he is our God or he's not our God. Is that right or not? Either he's our Lord or he's not our Lord. Either we make him the Lord of our life or he's not the Lord of our life, and something else or somebody else is the Lord of our life. Go back to Deuteronomy, please, chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to bring you a message this morning on how can you forget God? How can we possibly forget God? And he talks about this, about our responsibilities. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says down in verse 6 to the Jews, and these words will I command this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlace between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house and on thy gates. And it shall be that when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee unto the land which thou that thou swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten to the full, then be aware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt unto the house of bondage. So he said down here, he knows human nature. God made us. He knows when we get our belly full, sometimes we forget to pray for food. You know what I'm talking about? When we have a nice house to live in, we forget to thank God for the house we live in and pray that we continue that way. Human nature is weird. God made us, and that old flesh is still alive. Even though our soul is saved, that flesh is still alive. But the Bible said here, they said we have responsibilities. And he said it begins in our home. He said in your house. In verse 6 down here, he said, and these words I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And he said, we are to learn the word of God ourselves. If we're ever going to teach our kids, we need to know the word of God ourselves. That needs to be part of what we do in our homes, in our house. And he said, we need to read the Bible and memorize scripture. Somebody said this past Wednesday night about how the Lord brought back a verse of scripture to them when they were dealing with somebody. God just gave them that verse right there. What a blessing. God, you got to put it in there first. David said that word about hidden my heart that I might not sin against God. Then let me tell you something. There are a lot of times that you and I waste our time sitting in front of TV or our computer when we ought to be reading the word of God, because we're going to need it one day in our lives. We're going to need the word of God. The Bible said here, he said, these words I command this day shall be in thine heart. Then he said down in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. He said, these very words we need to teach our children. And we teach it to them in the morning when they get up, during the day, and at night when we go to bed. And that there's nothing more blessing than having your children together and having a family altar. We began our marriage. We knew we were going to have children in the mix. We decided we were going to have a family altar on a regular basis and teach the kids the Word of God, teach them little songs about the Bible. And when they come to church, they knew those little songs and things like that. And he said at nighttime, there's something about a kid going to sleep at night that when you read the Word of God to them, had prayer with them, there's something that there's that safety in their heart. There's that peace in their heart. They go to bed knowing that they're protected. They go to bed knowing that you're going to be there in the morning for them. But instead, we subject them sometimes to a bunch of horror movies and mess like that and wonder why kids have got mental problems. Neighbor, let me tell you something. That's because we've neglected the Word of God. We don't need the Word of God anymore. And he said down here, he said, in the evening, at nighttime, when I go to bed, he said, I want you to share the Word of God. Look in the same passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look down at verse 20, please. He said, when thy son shall ask thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you, then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Kids are going to ask questions. They're going to say, what about this? How do I know I'm going to heaven when I die? What about something else? Why do people act the way they do? Why did the teacher say this? What about revelation? What about creation? They're going to have questions. Thank God for that. I'm glad the kids have questions. Thank God for it. And mom and dad, we better be able to have some answers out of the Bible. Amen. Kids have questions. But if you don't have it in your heart and you haven't exposed them good, it's going to be kind of hard to get caught up. We have responsibilities. If the Lord is our God and we love him, we're going to follow him, and we really need him, then the Word of God comes into play. And those little kids, I'm glad the kids get saved early. I'm glad, thank God, their little hearts can be open and tender and they receive the Lord early, for sin has tainted their lives. I remember even seeing one of our daughters got saved when she was 4. He said, is that possible? She said it was. She knew she was a sinner. No, she's going, without God, she wasn't going to make it. And she received the Lord as her Savior, and God changed her. And some people get their minds open as teenagers. I don't know. Whatever that age is. But neighbor, we can help that by laying a foundation of the Word of God. But somehow, when things are going good, we lay the Bible aside. We lay the family altar aside. Then we wonder why we have problems in our home. Bible said here, if he's your Lord, you're going to have to put him first. But I want you to notice something down here. We have responsibilities in our home. Our kids, one of the first questions they asked was, why do we go to church? Because we were, at that time, we went to a one-room church. You've heard me tell this story a lot of times. No air conditioning, and we had the heat source was a little stove sitting in the middle of the thing that we fed with coal and wood, and then later got an oil heater. There was no bathroom facilities. The outhouse, so you had to go back towards the woods to go to the outhouse. And weather like this, you didn't spend very long in there either. But you understand that there was no conveniences there. We did not have a nursery. There was no nursery, but we had plenty of babies. He said, what'd you do? We ran a wire across the back and put a sheet up there, and if the ladies had to go back and take care of the babies, we went back there and took care of them. Fed them or whatever. Summertime, we had a church van out there, and that's where the young people's class met was in the church van in the summertime. We made do. We did what was in. We did what God showed with what we had. We didn't sit around and grab and complain about the thing. And the kids say, why are we going to church? We sit there and it's hot and the bitches pinch our rear end. We sit down on them and the bees buzz around. And why are we going to church? We go to church because God said, forsake not the assembly ourselves together as a manner of some is. We meet together on Sunday to worship and praise God and celebrate the resurrection. That's what we do. We had an old-time choir. We get up singing, I'll meet you in the morning in the sweet by and by. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. It was an exciting place to come, buddy. We had six preachers called out of that congregation, including myself. Five are still preaching today. One's with the Lord in glory. At a little backwoods church with a man of God that never was full-time hard except the end of his ministry. But he really loved people. And so on Sunday morning, on Saturday night, we were polishing kids' shoes. We were putting up clothes outside. I'd take the car and get gas it up. My wife had breakfast pretty much in her mind. What's she going to do? Our son, Blake, and he's still this way today. God bless him. I love him. Blake would go to bed at night dreaming about what he's going to have for breakfast in the morning. He'd ask his mother, say, what are we going to have for breakfast? And she said, oh, we're going to have toast. He said, I want some biscuits and gravy. When mom's so tough, eat what you got. But we made preparation to get in the house of God. If they had something else going on, too bad. When school started, if it was on Sunday, we didn't go. We went to church. And you got to put that in early. And you put them in because you got a base in the Word of God. They love the Word of God. They saw the Word of God demonstrated in your heart. And neighbor, after a while, it'll take. I know they get squirmy. I know they want to run their head. Every kid that God ever created likes to run in church. You know what I'm talking about? And I mean like cannonballs run in church. Ours did too. They got more whippings over that than anything in the world. It didn't slow them down. I'm sorry to tell you that. It didn't. But after a while, they got something to enjoy to be around other kids and see things happen and things like that. So there are responsibilities in our home. But we also have responsibilities in our community with our neighbors. Look down at chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, where we were. And look at verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. He said, I want everybody in your community to know that you're a child of God. I want everybody in the world to know who you are. Now, let me tell you something. Our neighbors know we go to church and when we don't go to church, don't they? That's right. They say that we are. My neighbor the other day said, I saw y'all's car there. I know you go Wednesday night. Well, we were sick. We couldn't make it. I'm glad they looked out after us. I'm glad they knew, thank God. But we have a testimony in the community. And God said, I want everybody in your community to know about that testimony. Take your Bibles, looking at verse 10 just a minute of chapter 6, 10. It shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land of that you swear unto your fathers, Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and made me full, then beware that thou forget the Lord. Our neighbors see how God blesses us. Our neighbors look on us. We may not have much. We don't have much. You don't have. Most people in this congregation don't have very much. You're hardworking people. You're not extravagant. You're spending. You don't live up on silk stocking roll. Well, except Brother John, but other than that, we don't. We're pretty common folks. I drive an older car. Our house is older. A lot of our clothes we get at Goodwill or second, and there's nothing wrong with that. Thank God for it. I'm glad it's there. What I'm saying is, our neighbors observe that. They watch that. They know. Thank God. And we ought to maintain that testimony. And our testimony ought to be that we ought to not ever get to a place where we don't need the Lord in our lives. Laodicea said, we're increased in riches and have need of nothing. We have need of everything, child of God. We need everything from God. You may not need it today, but I promise you may need it tomorrow. He said down here, we have a testimony protecting our homes and our communities. Then look down, please, at verse 12. He talks about in our place of worship. Beware lest thou forget the Lord which thou brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. He said, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempt him in the Massa. Ye shall diligently keep the same commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded me. We have a responsibility in our home. We have a responsibility in our community. And we have a responsibility in our church. God said, you're these things I command you. He said, don't let them slide. And the Bible said, don't forsake yourself together as the manner of some is. And so much more to see the day approaching. Neighbor, let me tell you something. You and I need to be in church now more than ever. I know it's a pain. I understand sometimes it's not convenient. I understand there's sickness. I got all that. I get it. We've experienced that too. But every chance we get, thank God we ought to be in the house of God, because it will help us. It'll help us. And we encourage each other. I don't know what I would do without the encouragement of God's children. I really don't. Sometimes you said, do preachers get down the dumps? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What are you smoking? Yeah, we get down the dumps. We get discouraged. We say, man, what's the use? You've heard the old story, preachers, whoever preacher quits on Monday morning. That's about true. Yeah, about true. Sometimes Friday. Sometimes Saturday evening before church. All I'm saying is we need the encouragement of each other. I look out in this congregation, there are people here that have encouraged me over the years because of your testimony, your faithfulness, your love for God. When I get down, I get weak, I look at some of you and I said, thank God they're still going. And in spite of all the other things that's going on in life, they're still going. I better get up and get my act together. We meet together, we sing these old hymns, lift up Jesus and glorify God and stir our hearts. I remember I was in a meeting not too long ago down in Manchester, Kentucky. And those people love to sing. And I was just kind of hurting. I don't know what it was, just junk. I'm dragging around there like a last dead louse fell off me. But I got in there, they got to singing at the cross, when I first saw the light and all that. And pretty soon my spirits got lifted. I got where I could preach. And I thank God for that. Let me tell you something. You'll never know the number of times you encourage your pastor or me or any other preacher that comes across this pulpit here just by your lives and your testimony and your encouragement. And we know that you have a hard time. We know that you're struggling. We know the things in your life, thank God. But you're here anyhow. You're blessed anyhow. You're trying to help somebody. You're giving somebody. Let me tell you something. That's what keeps us going. And you miss all that. And God said down here, you just keep on going, doing the commandments I told you. Stay in church. Stay around God's people. Read your Bible. Share it with your children. Share it with your neighbors. Apply it to your own life. Does that mean we're going to have carefree lives and nothing happens? No. That means we're going to go through the storm. But thank God that book and God's people will bring us through the storm. The Bible said down here, He said, don't forget the Lord. Let me point out something to you. God has never, ever, listen to me now, God has never, ever forgotten us. We're his children every day of the year, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. We're God's children. He knows our name. He knows the hairs of our head are numbered. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our words. He knows our lying down, our sitting up. We can't get away from him. He's there. He knows it. He knows where you are this morning. Amen. He said, preacher, I feel like God doesn't even know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at myself. God knows where you are. The thief on the cross. What prayer did he pray on the cross? Lord, remember me when I come into thy kingdom. Didn't he say that? Deuteronomy. He said, I'm going to remind you of something. He said in verse 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And down in verse 21, thou shalt say then to thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and small, great and sore, and Egypt upon Egypt and the Pharaoh and all the rest of it. Then he said down here in verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all the commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. At the end of the day, God rewards us for our faithfulness. When we're the ones who get all the blessings, we're the ones that once we get in the Word of God, I taught this morning in Sunday school that Scripture will always interpret Scripture. Let me tell you something. It is such a blessing to be reading something, and God will unlock a Scripture over here, and he said, that's it. Hallelujah. You didn't get that from Joel, what's the name, Olstein, teeth and hair mess. You got it out of the Word of God. God showed you those things. A lot of times, people get preconceived ideas about two things. Number one, they get the idea, well, I'll never be missed if I don't come to church for a while. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. We miss you. We love you. We need you here. I found out a lot of times, you know, sometimes I get sick, couldn't get to church. People didn't call necessarily because they didn't want to bother me. They knew I was, but when I got to church, they said, we miss you so much. And I said, why? Why? But they did. The second misconception is this, that somehow nobody needs encouragement but me. That's a misconception. And I'll give you an example of that. And I'm sure you've heard me tell this story, because it is true. It's a true story. Back years ago, I traveled a lot to West Virginia, Southeastern Kentucky, Virginia. And a lot of the churches I was in were pretty poor churches. They didn't have a lot. I went anyway. Not that I'm any good, but the Lord opened the door. And I had preachers tell me, he said, why do you go to the little church? There ain't no money over there. And they were right. There wasn't. They didn't have anything. Sometimes we'd come home with a little gas money in our pocket and some canned beans and a sack of corn or something. That's the best they had. That's what they had to give you. And you go home today, and you go home sometime, and you say, man, how we gonna pay our bills? Where's the money come from? God always took care of it, always did. But you get down about it. So I was in this one particular church in a coal camp over there, and it was very depressing. It's a depressing era. The coal camps, a lot of them were shut down. The mines were shut down. Their people were out of work. They were on welfare. Many of them were dying from black lung. I mean, it was just a very... The little hotel I was staying in was just a little one-horse place right by a railroad track, and the trains would come through and rattle the windows, wake you up, and you couldn't see out the window because of the coal dust on the windows. You know where it's day or night. Had one little old bed that was too short for me. My feet stuck over the bed. No, there wasn't no breakfast they give you. Nothing. You'd bring your own. I was away from home. Kids were sick. They couldn't go with me. We'd had an issue in our Christian school that needed to be rectified, and I wasn't there to help do it. And I was just down the dump. I was just beat up. And I was this close to packing my suitcase and going home. I'm serious. On Saturday night before Sunday morning, I said, I'm out of here. And God wouldn't let me do it. So I got up that morning, took my Bible, guitar, and went to church. Sat on the front row. And it was depressing. Mostly older people. Some people never done black on their coughing their guts out. Just, oh, I told you, Lord, if there's a purgatory, it must be here. And I'm sitting there, and I'd called home before, and the kids were still sick, and we didn't have any money, and I was just down. Didn't feel good myself. And so right before I preached, I told pastors, I don't think I'll be singing today. I got a little problem in my throat. I lied about it. I didn't have a problem in my throat. I had a problem in my heart. So I sat there all bulled up and sawed up like a poisoned dog. And he said, well, there's no lady who wants to sing. I said, let her sing. This old lady got up and she had on a handmade dress. Looked like it made out of flour sacks. You know, ladies used to make their print dresses out of the flour sacks. It was a homemade dress. She had a pair, her shoes were all run down. She had a big patch on her eye where cancer had got one of her eyes. She was up in her upper 80s. She stood up there and she said, I want y'all to sing y'all a song. Said, God's been good. I looked at her and said, God's been good to you? Wow. Her husband was dead. Two sons dead of black lung. She had another son was in prison. And she didn't have any money, I heard later.
But you see, she said, I just want to be a blessing to y'all. I said, yeah, right. I was out of it. She pulled out this paper with the song on it. And she said, I want to sing this song called God Will Make a Way Somehow. And I said, wow, this is going to be good. She started singing that song, and buddy, it touched my heart. And about the third verse, I was blowing snot bubbles. I was just tore up. And I was sitting on the front row, so I had to crawl and get in the altar. And it had an old-time mourner's bench there. And I wept my way back to God and got things right with God. She's still singing. It must have been 20 verses, that song. She's still singing. She ought to be on the Grand Ole Opry, man. She was still singing. But you know what? Because of that little lady wanting to minister to me and anybody else, we had a great meeting. I stayed. We had several people got saved, including her son in prison that got saved, the chaplain relating to the Lord that same week. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If I'd have packed up my stuff and gone another way, no telling what would happen. But she ministered to me. Don't ever think for a minute that other people don't need ministering to and help and encouragement. They do. And they're here this morning. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We do good. We're going to have an invitation song. Brother, you can come get ready for it, if you will, please. And here's what we're going to do this morning. Everybody knows me, knows I don't give fancy invitations. I give it simple. Just whatever God shows you to do, do it. But let's stand together a minute. Our eyes are closed just a minute while we stand. And I'm telling you, my part of this service is going to be this. I hope this morning God reminded you and I of why we can't quit and why we need to put the Lord first. Hope he did. He reminded me. I hope this morning that God reminds you of things you've got to be thankful for. A family, whoever, whatever. Your church, good health. This would be a good time for you to make your way to the altar. And just a little while on your knees, saying, Lord, I haven't thanked you for a while. I haven't been before you for a while. I've taken too much for granted. You've been good to me, Lord. You've been good to my family. And Lord, in the house of God this morning, on my knees or sitting on a bench somewhere, I want to tell you thank you for all you've done for me. That's not going to cost you anything. That's not going to cost you a dime. But I want us to do it. Here's the third thing I'd like us to do. You may know somebody here this morning that's really going through deep water. That's really going through it. I mean, you may know. You may not know the details, but you may know. Maybe two or three God's people can slip around and just pray with them. Just slip over to them. Say, let me have a word of prayer with you. Nothing big, no putting on the show. Just say, you know, I'd like to pray for you and ask God to help you. You know what that means? That means so much to whoever it is that God leads you to. And if you're not saved today, for goodness sakes, what are you waiting on? The Lord Jesus Christ will come back any day. If you'll come today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, will you take the Bible? We'll have somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can have your sins forgiven and be ready for heaven this morning. Father, I ask you now, Lord, that you might oversee this invitation. Lord, I don't know any other way to give it. Lord, this is the way you led me to give it. There must be a reason for it. And Lord, I don't know anything. I don't know anybody's needs. I don't know their heart. All I know is mine. But I pray, Lord, that folks, that they would move. I pray, God, they'd get out of their deadness and their coldness that the devil's put on our hearts. It happens to all of us. And I pray there'll be some folks that'll come just give you thanks. Just get on the knees and say, Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you, thank you for being good to me and for saving my soul. There are others, Lord, may need to slip to the side of some believer that's going through deep water. And just have a prayer with him. God, whatever needs to get done, I pray folks will respond in Jesus' name. Amen.